Thailand's deadliest political violence in 20 years spread to provincial capitals. Rioters went on a rampage in Bangkok after soldiers routed anti-government protesters, ending a two-month siege. In this country, teachers are facing the toughest job market since the Depression. Budget troubles have school districts taking down the Help Wanted signs. And the Taliban are trying to undercut U.S. gains in Marja. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says a crackdown in Bangkok degenerated into riots. Most of the leaders of the so-called Red Shirt movement surrendered. That was a victory for the embattled government. But Times reporter Seth Meiden says militants went on a rampage, facing down the military with grenades and assault weapons.
The military moved in first from the south with armored personnel carriers that crashed through crude barricades. The protesters set fire to the stock exchange, to bank buildings, and to a major mall. The military was not sure that it had restored order to the city, and it declared a curfew that's in place tonight.
Times reporter Seth Meidens in Bangkok. As the violence continued, arsonists set fire to almost 30 buildings, including the country's stock exchange and a television station. Two city halls were torched in provincial capitals when thousands of protesters there heard about the crackdown in Bangkok and took to the streets. At the far left side of Thursday's front page, school districts used to hire thousands of new teachers every year, but now the Help Wanted signs are coming down. Teachers are facing the worst job market since the Depression. Times reporter Winnie Hu says even upscale suburban districts are bracing for large numbers of layoffs. School officials and union leaders estimate more than 150,000 teachers nationwide could lose their jobs in 2011. Thursday's Times profiles Joe Sestak. He's the Pennsylvania congressman and retired admiral who effectively ended Arlen Specter's three decades in the Senate. Sestak beat Specter in the Democratic primary on Tuesday. Sestak has a reputation as a hard-charging taskmaster who's willing to defy, say, the White House. Sestak says the White House tried to get him out of the race by offering him a job. The White House denies that. Times reporter Jeff Zeleny says that as Specter discovered, this is no time to be an incumbent.
Democrats and Republicans, anyone with a senator or representative in front of their names, are pretty equally worried. Democrats, of course, have more to lose in the fall campaign. They have more seats in both the House and Senate. But Republicans really are looking at the lessons from the results on Tuesday night, particularly in a special election in the 12th Congressional District of Pennsylvania, the only race where there was a Republican against a Democrat, and Democrats prevailed. That was said to be a test case for the fall campaign, and Democrats prevailed by 8 points. That was one big bright spot for them.
Times reporter Jeff Zeleny in Washington. The Taliban are trying to undo U.S. gains in Marja. The Marines swept in there 3 months ago. Now Marines on the ground in Marja say Taliban leaders and drug lords want to regain control. Times reporter C.J. Chivers says this may be a sign the expected push into Kandahar will be tougher in the long run. In Marja, the Taliban are planting hidden bombs. They're also trying a campaign of intimidation that's aimed at civilians suspected of aiding outsiders like the Americans. Tensions are rising between scientists and the Obama administration over the Gulf oil spill. Thursday's Times says some oceanographers are accusing the administration of failing to do an adequate scientific analysis of the damage. The scientists say that went hand in hand with BP's efforts to play down the scope of the spill. The administration says its scientific resources are stretched thin, but it's putting out an effective response. Inside Thursday's Times, a more detailed picture of the moments before the plane crash that killed Poland's president last month. At least two passengers had been in the cockpit. They were heard on cockpit voice recorders about 20 minutes before the plane went down. It's not clear who they were or why they were up front. The plane crashed just short of an airport in western Russia, killing President Lech Kaczynski and 95 others. In Washington, the Senate failed to advance the financial reform bill. Two key Democrats said it still didn't go far enough to tighten the rules. Senators Maria Cantwell of Washington and Russ Feingold of Wisconsin joined with 39 Republicans to block a move by Majority Leader Harry Reid. He was trying to wrap up debate. Inflation hit a 44-year low. Consumer prices fell 1/10 of 1% in April. That was the first decline in 13 months. The Labor Department says energy prices led the way down. Food prices were up. All in all, the drop gave the Federal Reserve more room to keep interest rates low. That's good news for borrowers, but not for savers. Hedge funds have found a new market to invest in, whistleblowers. Informants who turn in tax cheats have to wait years to get a reward from the IRS. Now, hedge funds are offering whistleblowers a smaller payout up front in return for a percentage of the IRS money down the road. Last month, one IRS informant took $4 million from a private equity firm. He needed the money for living expenses after turning in an energy company for underpaying its taxes. Thursday's Business Day section also asks, has American Airlines been backed into a corner? Delta's 2008 merger with Northwest knocked American to number two. Now the proposed merger of United and Continental would push American down to third. Some analysts say American has few options other than merging with U.S. Airways. American's executives say they won't be forced into blindly following the leaders. Here in New York, a subcontractor has been paid $2 million to haul away dirt from a new tunnel that's being dug for the Long Island Railroad. The hauler's off the job now. The city's Business Integrity Commission says the company is too cozy with organized crime figures. That decision was based in part on affidavits and wiretaps that detail a clandestine meeting with a mobster in a nursing home. The MTA says it has another subcontractor lined up and ready. The CBS drama The Good Wife has turned out to be good news for New York actors now that NBC is canceling the original Law & Order. The Good Wife is already filling the void for Broadway stars who might have turned up in guest appearances on Law & Order. Tova Felcher has done jury duty on The Good Wife. Kate Burton has been appointed Chief Justice, and some of the lower court judges are Tony Award winners. The Good Wife is set in Chicago, but it's shot in New York because the star Julianna Margulies wanted to be here. That's our preview of Thursday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.